Precious child of God, you're welcome to another transformative message from Reverend Sydney Alamensa. Reverend Sydney is the head pastor of God is Our Light Church, City of His Presence. He is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a series titled The Little Fox of Double-Mindedness. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Amen. We've been dealing with a topic concerning little foxes in the vineyard. Hallelujah. I look at somebody, say little fox in the vineyard. Hallelujah. And we've dealt with a lot of things about a vineyard. Last week we talked about you being a branch in the vine, and the vine is Jesus. Hallelujah. And the vine dresser is God. Amen. It means God is the gardener and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branch or the branches. Hallelujah. And if you are in the vine, then you should exhibit things that comes from the vine. Hallelujah. But tonight we want to look at some little fox that will have the ability to enter your vineyard, and you as the branch which is in the vine, which automatically makes you as the vine as well. Because Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And Jesus tells his disciples, he elevates them and tells them that you are my friend. Hallelujah. And we want to look at another fox in the vineyard that can destroy the vineyard. And tonight we want to look at double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. Somebody say double-mindedness. Hallelujah. Let's take our anchor scripture from Songs of Solomon. I know some of you don't read that chapter or that book, because when we were growing up, we counted it as a chapter of love. And a lot of love expressions. But if you go back to listen to my teachings, the first part of it was one of the wives of Solomon who was expressing the fact that after doing all the things that she has to do, she's left alone. So indeed, Songs of Solomon expressively speaks about love. But let's look at what our anchor scripture says in Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Can somebody read for me? Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Can you hear me, please?
Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. And I read, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Amen.
Amen. Which version is that? Can you read from which version is that? King James. It says that take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Hallelujah. I welcome you once again to our believer service. We are here to teach the word of God and to also mature. Amen. And let's look at James chapter 1 verse 8. James chapter 1 verse 8. James is in the New Testament. James chapter 1 verse 8. It says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. One of the little foxes that I want us to deal with tonight is the little fox of double-mindedness. And as the word itself speaks to us, that a mind that is double, hallelujah, a mind that is double, and is a little fox that can creep into your life. It can destroy your vision. It can destroy your dreams. It can even destroy the church of God. And that is what I call double-mindedness. And when we talk about double-mindedness, we are speaking about instabilities. Say instability. Instability. One that is doubting. Hallelujah. One that is doubting when you are hesitating. When you are a wishy-washy, you are wavering or you are uncertain. You are double-minded. If you are wishy-washy, you are uncertain about things. When you are always hesitating, always doubting, you find yourself that you are in a place where you are what? You are double-minded. And when you are double-minded, you can be pulled by two worlds. You can be pulled by the carnal world, and it can be pulled by the spiritual world. And when I mean the carnal world, I mean the world that we live in now. And the spiritual world is where we are all maturing to be. Hallelujah. That is walking in the path of Christ. Am I communicating? So you can't be pulled by two worlds when you are double-minded. Are you understanding me? And in fact, if a man will look at himself very well, there are times where you can tell in your life that you are double-minded in so many areas of your life. I remember when we entered the university, level 100, before we went, some of us have made up our mind on what courses were to read. But when all the level 100 students were put in one lecture hall, we had a lecturer trying to school us again on some of the courses that we have to choose. And after that, some guys that I befriended just a couple of hours, some of them decided to change their mind on the course they were going to read. It's a typical example of one that is double-minded. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. But one thing that we have to know is that double-minded men are those that are constantly, they're speaking on both sides. It's either he's speaking A or he's speaking B. So his mouth is always two-sided mouth. Because what he has perceived in his mind, he's speaking what about it. Are you understanding me? And double-minded men and women are all the time, they are guilty in instability concerning their lives. Sometimes after making decisions and it doesn't go on well, they feel very guilty. And in feeling very guilty, sometimes they want to go back and undo what they've done, but then it's too late. And that is why double-mindedness is a little fox that can destroy your vineyard, that can destroy your vision, and that can destroy your dreams. Hallelujah. And it is evident that there are two wheels, and as I spoke about, there are two wheels that will always drive a man. Two wheels that will always drive a man. And the will to do something which is good, and the will to decide something which is good, or the will to have to make a critical decision in your life. And sometimes when these wheels are pulling you, these are wheels where a man wants to be saved by, by his own personal satisfaction, or he wants to be saved by God, or somebody that wants to be moved by lust, or would want God to move him. So all the time you are being moved by two wheels. Somebody say two wheel. So sometimes you want to be happy. There are times where you want to have pleasure. There are times where you want to have fun. There are times where you want to be isolated. There are times where man wants to live a godly life. There are times where another wheel is taking you outside of being godly. There are times where a will wants to help you to live a consistent life, and another will wants to lead you to an inconsistent life. Are you understanding me? There are times where a will wants to let you have a good relationship with God, where you neither go up and you come down in your relationship with God. And there is another will that says that, you know what, just forget about it. Where you are is okay. Just be satisfied by where you are. So there, all the time, there are wheels that are pulling us. Are you understanding me? And these are two wheels. And they find themselves in somebody who is double-minded. And the Bible says that if you are double-minded, you are unstable in what? In all what? Your ways. So there can be a temptation for every believer to fall into the trap of double-mindedness. So double-mindedness can be a trap for you. You can fall into that trap. You can be somebody who is not a double-minded person, but you can fall into the trap to become what? Double-minded. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And it's very important that as believers, we are very much careful not to fall into any kind of trap called double-minded. It can look like a little fox that cannot be seen. And these are prayer topics that believers will not pray about. Lord, take me out of any trap of being double-minded. No. It's either we bind a witch, we bind a wizard, or something like that. But to say, Father, I pray, take from me double-mindedness in the name of Jesus, and pray that prayer for 30 minutes. I'm sure you do maybe about 5 minutes and you'll be like, it's over. But you see, double-mindedness can collapse your vision and can destroy your dreams. People have made decisions where they were double-minded, and it has turned their destiny around forever. So it's a little fox that can destroy your vineyard. Am I communicating? Let's take some quote. There was a man called John Mason. He said something, and I quote him. He said that a double-minded man is easily overcome in an hour of temptation. You see, because if you are double-minded, if temptation comes, you are easily prone to temptation because you are what? You are double-minded. A man called E. Stanley Jones, he said, if you don't make up your mind, please listen, and I quote him. He says, if you don't make up your mind, then your unmade mind will unmake you. Is it true? If you don't make up your mind, then what? Your unmade mind will make you. And he says that here is the place where there must be no dallying, for any dallying will be by a Trojan horse that will get on the inside and open the gate to the enemy. You know, a Trojan horse is a virus. And if he enters some of you are IT expert here. If you allow a Trojan horse into your files, you are dead. Are you understanding me? And he says that it will open what? The gate of the enemy. And he says God can do anything for a man who has made up his mind. And that is why it's so powerful that when the people decided to build a tower to touch heaven, they made up their mind that nothing will persuade them. They will build the tower till they touch heaven. And God said, no, these people that have made up their mind is very powerful. And what I have to do is to confuse them. Are you understanding me? And that is why it's very important that when the Bible says that where two or three have gathered, agreeing and touching, it will be established. The word touching there is covenant. Are you understanding me? That when we agree and we covenant on something, it is very powerful. And that is why it's very important that when you get people that are united, it is more than a dynamite. It is so powerful. It is so difficult to break people that are united. Are you understanding me? And that is why when the little fox of double-minded creeps into people that have decided that we want to stick to something, and now this one says that, this one says, that is what happens. Hallelujah. Let's look at some Bible references about double-mindedness. And the Bible has so much to say about the little fox of double-mindedness. And I want you to join me. Let's travel to 1 Kings 18:21. Let's travel to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Lord help me. King James, and I read. It says that, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long has ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Not a word. Man of God, read 2 Kings 17:33 for me. 2 Kings 17, 33.
2 Kings chapter 17, verse 33.
Yeah.
Sorry, is it 1 Kings?
2 Kings 17, 33.
Okay. 2 Kings 17, verse 33. And I read.
Yes.
They worshiped the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but they also served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. Amen.
Amen. For which they have been brought. If you look at the first scripture that we read, it says that Elijah called the people and then he told them that, listen, you have to decide. And this was when there was a battle between the Baal prophet and he himself. And he said, you have to make up your mind. And even after telling them that you have to make up your mind, they still couldn't make up their mind. And scripture says that they couldn't even say a word. And you know what happened to them? They died. Are you understanding me? Bible says in Isaiah 29, 13, it says that, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. Is taught by what? The precept of man. This is when people cannot make up their mind whether to follow God or not to follow God, whether to follow the traditions of man or to follow what God himself. Are you understanding me? And the Bible says in Hosea chapter 10 verse 2, it says that their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break their altars. He shall spoil their image. It says their heart is what? Divided. Their heart is what? Is divided. It's like going to an ice cream shop and you have so many flavors. You don't know which one to choose. And you have toppings as well. And you don't know which toppings to add to it. And now you are standing there. There is a queue behind you. And people are grumbling and saying that, what's this guy doing there? And the shop and the ice cream attendant is also looking at you and saying, now you don't know what to choose. And you know what happens? Now that person chooses for you. Is it not true? Now they say, have you tried this before? Let me give you this. And after they give you that flavor and the toppings, now you taste it and you are like, next time I have to, you know, I have to choose it myself. That is where you are double-minded. Now people even choose your part of life for you. What you have to do, people even choose it for you. That's the outcome of one who is what? Who is double-minded. I love Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. It says that no man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve what? Two masters. It says, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and serve what? Mammon. Mammon is money. So it's predominant in scripture that double-mindedness, it looms to chaos. As a believer, you cannot be double-minded. It's a little fox that will destroy you, that will cripple you. Are you understanding me? Am I teaching here? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 20. Read for us, please. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22.
Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. And I read, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. 21. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed unto them. 22. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a soul that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you have you seen a dog that, you know, they vomit, they go back to it? Yeah. They go back, and then sometimes you wonder, does it taste nice? Is it something they... It's like somebody who is double-minded. After making that decision, now you go back and then say, I said it, I changed my mind, you know. And then you do that for like 2-3 times, I still change my mind. And scripture says that, it says that folks like that, they are entangled therein. It's like a cycle or a pattern that cannot be broken. But you see, the truth of the matter is that it's because it's a little fox called double-mindedness. And it's not a prayer topic that people will love to pray about it. And I'm not sure it would even cross the mind. But let's look at James chapter 1, verse 8. Man of God, read for me. James chapter 1, verse 8. It's a classic verse for the dilemma of double-mindedness. A classic verse of the dilemma of double-mindedness. James chapter 1, verse 8.
James chapter 1, verse 8.
Yes, please.
He is a double-minded man.
Please take your time and read. He is what?
A double-minded man. Unstable in all he does.
Unstable in what? In all what he does. Hallelujah. If you look at the Greek word for double-minded, it's two-spirited. Two what? Spirited. It means that for you, your spirit is being parted into two. Like Moses stretching the rod to part the Red Sea. You are here and you are there. And that's the Greek word for what? For double-mindedness. It means that your spirit, you are just vacillating in opinions, in purposes concerning your life. You are all over the place. Your spirit is all over the place. Hallelujah. And the word also gives us understanding that one found in a place like that can will two souls. Are you understanding me? One found in a place of double-minded can will what? Can will two souls. I'm not saying he has two souls. I'm saying can will two souls. Are you understanding me? So in that case, you could see that one is found in a place where he's not sure whether to go left or to go right. And the scripture we read from above in Kings talks about Elijah confronting the Baal prophet at Carmel. And then he questions them and he says, how long would you have two opinions? Whether you join God or you join Baal? And you've seen the evidence. The last thing for you is for you to catch fire and die. And he asks them that, This is you. You either join God or you go. And the guys were there, they were muted. It's like their mouth was zipped. They couldn't speak. Because they were what? They were double-minded. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. And that is it sometimes starts with a feeling like that. And that's where it creeps in. It starts with a feeling. I feel it. I cannot decide. Start with that and then graduate to become a monster, and now it begins to rule your life. It rule your life. And sometimes as believers we can just see and we realize that every decision that we have to take, we are double-minded. Even after we've taken that decision, we are still double-minded. You know, even when it will be so surprising that sometimes you become so double-minded that when you are gifted a new phone, you are still not sure whether it's original. That you would want to go to the internet to still check whether it is original or it is fake. And that is how far double-mindedness can take us to. But the truth of the matter is that if the devil can cause people spiritual priorities to be two-willed or two-spirited or two souls, then he can sway people to his end or to his come. Are you understanding? And then we'll get there. It's that serious and dangerous that as believers, if we find ourselves in, it's like you are giving and you are not sure whether I give or I shouldn't give. It's like you want to pray, you are not sure whether to pray, to not to pray. You want to read a word, you are not sure whether to read a word or not to read a word. And I'll teach you something before we close, because if we are not careful, we will graduate to that level where we will now not even feel to be part of his presence. We will not feel to be part of the fellowship. We will not feel to be part of church again. Hallelujah. And the danger of being double-minded is it causes our spiritual walk to be slow. And we will not only be slow, but now begin to crawl as well. Because you are not sure. It's like everything you are not sure. Even scripture, you will question scripture. You will question everything God speaks. So now you see that you not just be slow, but then you begin to what? You begin to crawl. And in crawling like that, the tendency is that it doesn't sway our spiritual priorities, but it can also lead us to sin as well. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And not only can it lead us to sin, but there are times where it can even cause us to be dull in even preaching his word or even evangelizing. Do I go and evangelize? Do I sleep? Do I watch TV? What do I do? It will even cause us to even backtrack in a place of what? Evangelism. Hallelujah. And now it doesn't stay there, but also it will decentralize our ability to walk in holiness as well. And that is what the little fox of double-mindedness can do to us. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? And soon enough, we will get to that place where it now zoom in our life, and then it can become something like excuses. You know, if I'm double-minded, one of my signs is always to find excuse. Because I am indecisive. And because I have not decided yet, the only thing I have to do is to give you what? Excuses. Somebody say, little fox, double-mindedness can creep into my life. Now, the causes of double-mindedness, what causes? What are the causes of double-mindedness? Understanding the causes of double-mindedness is very important, because it will just open your mind up for you to understand where you are as a believer. And I would say that understanding the causes of spiritual instability, because I told you that double-minded is also what? Instability. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So spiritual instability can greatly assist us in the battle against the little fox. And this little fox of double-mindedness will look to pluck the fruit. And last week I talked about the fruit. Hallelujah. You can go back and listen to the tape. That it can destroy what? The fruit. And double-mindedness as a little fox is that powerful that it can destroy what? The fruit. But scripture has a way of defining the reasons for the unstable or the instability of man. And when man is in a state of double-mindedness, number one, one of the causes of double-mindedness is the deception of false doctrine. When I say deception of false doctrine, is that there are times where you can be trapped in false doctrine. And you see, it's so surprising that these days if you check on Facebook, on Instagram, and on our social media spaces, somebody say false doctrine. Say false doctrine. People are teaching things that sometimes you are like, is what my pastor is saying, is it true? And you begin to take note and all that, and you are so much in a state of instability. Hallelujah. So false doctrine is very, very important. But you see, one thing that I love about the word of God is that it is clear, and it gives us the directives about our true salvation. Give me John 3. Read John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. Our true salvation message and the doctrine of the new birth. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5.
John 3:3-5.
Yes. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. Saint John.
In reply, Jesus declared, I will tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.
Unless he is what? He is born again.
Verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.
Yeah.
5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody, tell the person, this is non-negotiable. Say, this is non-negotiable. You have to be born. It's non-negotiable. But you see, there are so many doctrines around trying to, you know, downplay this and all that. But some of these things is the true. This is the directives of our true salvation message, that you have to be what? You have to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 says that. It says that, O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? You see, that is to say that you can't be bewitched. Are you a message can what? Can bewitched you. Am I communicating? It says that, O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set what? Before you. It says, crucified among you. How can you be bewitched when you have seen the evidence? Are you understanding me? So you see, false doctrine can create double-minded in you or in your vineyard or in your life as a believer. Am I communicating? Philippians chapter 4 verse 14. Read for me. Sorry, Ephesians, quickly please. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14.
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14.
Let's travel this journey. Read Ephesians.
Verse 14.
Yeah.
Then we will no longer be infants.
It says that we will no longer be infants. Somebody say infant.
Tossed back and forth by the waves.
Look at somebody by your side. Ask the person, do you know you can be tossed? Like, you know, do you know you can be tossed? Listen, it's not like in the movies you see when people are lifted and no. This is doctrine. I'm telling you, you can be tossed by doctrine. This is saying this. This is saying that man-made doctrines by strange revelation can toss you to the left and to the right. Man of God, continue.
Tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching.
Did you hear that? It says that every wind of what? Of teaching. Some other version says that every wind of doctrine.
Wind of teaching. And by the cunning and craftiness of men.
By the cunning and what? And craftiness of men. Please, you've got to be. You see, we are in the dispensation and in the era where as believers, we have to. And you see, we don't, it's places like this we don't like, you know, teaching the word of God. It's that which we will switch our channel, is which we do not want to listen to. Are you understanding me? My scripture is telling us that there are men that are cunning. Are you understanding me? There are men that are cunning. They can sway you from the truth. Hallelujah. And he says what?
Cunning and craftiness of men.
Craftiness. You know what it means by one who is crafty? The craftiness of what? Of men.
In their deceitful scheming.
In their what? Deceitful what? Scheming. Hallelujah. They are deceitful scheming. Now people go on Facebook, they check your profile and they use it to prophesy and all that. You know, what sort of thing is that? Hallelujah. I heard somebody check somebody's profile and say, I see this year, that's not my year of birth. Are you understanding me? They go your pre-check your, you know, your relations and all that and say, and your aunties, they are genuine prophet. Hallelujah. And there are those that are fake as well. Amen. And some of these in the craftiness of themselves will try to create man-made doctrines. Man-made doctrines. And it's very important because it can put you in a state of double mindedness. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Number two cause of double-mindedness is spiritual immaturity. And spiritual immaturity and ignorance of the word of God can cause us to be double-minded. How many of you believe that? Hallelujah. Spiritual immaturity. And that is why the reason why Paul instructed the pastoral epistles and told them that a pastor cannot be a novice. He says a pastor cannot be what? A novice. Please read for me 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. That's just about one of the criteria of being a pastor. A pastor cannot be what? A novice. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 to 7.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. And I read. He must not...
Let's take it from verse 5. Okay.
Verse 5. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 6. He must not be a recent convert.
He must not be a recent convert. King James say that not a novice.
Or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil.
Other than that, he will be lifted in a place of pride. Is it that the devil, the King James says that he will be lifted in a place of what? Of pride. And he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. Read 7 for me. It says that what?
He must also have a good reputation with outsiders.
He must have what? A good reputation from what? Outsiders.
So that he will not fall into disgrace.
So that he will not fall into what? Into disgrace. So that means that there should be witnesses. There should be one or two witnesses. Are you understanding me? That can say that I can give a good report about this particular person. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are here, you don't have a calling, you want to be called by God. Let me wave your hand. Let me see. You want to be called. Good. And this is for you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. It says that, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Read your version for me. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12.
Verse 12. In fact,
he says, in fact,
though by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word.
The basic truth of God. And that is what we don't need. The basics. The basics that will help us. Do your quiet time. Read your Bible. This is it. These are the cunning ways of the enemy. Avoid it and all that. These are what? The basic. Look at somebody say the basics. He says what? Man of God.
The elementary truths of God's word. All over again.
Yes.
You need milk, not solid food.
Anyone
who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil.
Hallelujah. And that's why I said the last time. You see, as a believer, listen, from January to now, if by 31st December, you need to assess yourself whether you have matured or you are still where you are. Are you understanding me? You have to assess yourself whether I've matured or I'm still where I am. The King James Version say that you are a babe. And I said it last time, not the babe we call in relationship, babes, you know. Hallelujah. You are a babe. You know, now we don't say baby, we say babes, right? Babes. I know where that one came from. You know. But he says that you are a babe. You don't want to mature, you are still one. A baby. And he says you have to mature. So double-mindedness can put one into spiritual immaturity. Number three, spiritual shallowness. And there is a difference between spiritual immaturity and then spiritual shallowness. Spiritual shallowness, I mean that one that does not want the depth of the word. Is you are always on the shallow side. Surface, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that is all. Hallelujah. But how deep are we going? How revelatory are we becoming even in that word? Are you understanding me? How can you pick one verse and then you cannot always be, you know, I was speaking with a lady this afternoon. I asked, what do you do in church? And I said, are you a chorister? And he said, no. Are you protocol? He said, no. I said, so what do you do? He said, I'm just an attender. I said, I was speaking in my mind that if you use that word in City of His Presence, we have to migrate you in a circle from class 101 to class 201. Hallelujah. So I'm just an attender. I said, no, you have to do something in the house of God. And I said, if I look at your face, I think you have a beautiful smile. You can be a protocol. He said, are you sure? She doesn't even believe in herself. So I asked the guy who came with her, and I said, what I'm saying, is it not true? He said, yeah, it's true. But she thinks that her smile sometimes is plastic, that it has to be real a bit. And I said, wasumpa, you know, you've been giving the word. Hallelujah. So the truth of the matter is that we have to go, somebody say, deeper. Hallelujah. Some months to come, I should be receiving invitations and say, I want to go like a month, you know. And then we can look at our back and say, we have raised women that can teach the word of God. Teach the word of God. We have raised men that can teach the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm so fond of women that grow into spiritual maturity because of the dimensions I went through, you know, with my spiritual man. But it's so interesting and you know, I should say astonishing when you see women that have depth in the word and they are teaching and they don't just stick on one revelation. They go much deeper and deeper. But if you are double-minded, it can take you into a place of spiritual shallowness. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. It says that, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. So it means that if you are not doing that which he says, if you are not wise, you are what? You are, why you can't say it? You are a fool. Hallelujah. Let me help you. And he says that, which buildeth his house. Now he qualifies this. He says, which buildeth his house upon what? A rock. That's a wise man. He built his house what? Upon a rock. Verse 25. He says, and the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house and it fell on it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now look at the one who is foolish here. He says that, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Now this is how a foolish man does. He built his house upon the sand. How can you build a house upon the sand? And he says that, and the rain descended and the flood came and the wind blew and beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And that would be a foolish person that does not have what. And what he's saying is that having a solid foundation. Not only always being on the shallow side of it, but having what? Depth. Somebody say depth. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Please write that scripture down. That should be your memory verse for the rest of the week. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. It says that rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up what? In him. It says, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That ye have been what? Have been taught. So you need to be what? You need to be taught. Hallelujah. For you to have depth in revelation, in the word, and even in your spiritual maturity, you have to be what? Be taught. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 to 10. It's a long scripture. I won't read it. I'll give it to you. But let's read Psalm 37 verse 31. It says that the law, Psalm 37, 31, the law of God, or the law of his God, is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I love that. It says that if the word of God is in your heart, none of your steps are what? Shall slide. None of your steps shall what? Shall slide. So, number three cause of double-mindedness is what? Is what? I taught that now. Number four is worldliness. Worldliness. Now, it's true, because the prevailing hunger of the things of the world leads man into a soul-numbing existence. The things of the world, Kai. The things of the world can put you in a place where you are double-minded. Hallelujah. And it's gradually creeping in the church as well. And the truth is that you have to make up your mind whether you want to get close to God or you want to get close to the world. Hallelujah. I want to give somebody a high five. Tell the person, you have to choose. I mean, you have to choose. Hallelujah. You have to choose. Amen. And that is why 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. It says that love not the world, neither the things. Please put it on the screen. Let's read together. Please, I just want it. Let's read together. It's on the, put it on the screen for 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17. I want us all to read together. It says what? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is it there? 16. Let's read. It says what? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So this is what is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to teach about these three things sometime. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the last verse, 17. Let's read together. It says what? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth what? Forever. Hallelujah. May this word be yours in Jesus' name. Number five, the cause of double-minded is subtle destruction. Subtle, not macho, subtle. What? Kitwebi. She'll be in him catching and say, Kitwebi. Hallelujah. You see, the distractions of the devil can make us unstable. And when the love of the Lord fades for something else, it leads to double what? Mindedness. Hallelujah. And that is why the devil will use money, say money, fame, people, jobs. The devil will use, man of God made me laugh. Man of God, I have to let you sit at the back next time. Hallelujah. I love this man, you know. I think I have to end my sermon. Hallelujah. Am I teaching tonight? It's very important because it just a subtle distraction can cause you to be double-minded. And a typical person in the Bible is Solomon. Solomon. Somebody say Brasolo. the way he stretched on Brasolo. I hope there is no Brasolo in your life. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 4. It says that, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God and was there." And it says, "As was the heart of David his father." Subtle distraction. You see? And that's what happens with many wives. Winiminko. You see, a lot of voices are speaking to you. This one says this, this one says that, this one says that. And that's what happens. Subtle what? Distractions. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. Put it there. Let's read together. Congregant church, let's read it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. He says, "Forward, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto that." So that's like from Takoradi to Butumajebu to Takwa, and now to Bodie. You know, like now he just moves from, he's just moving what? Further and further and further. And that's where he's like, now you call and in like the mobile phone or the number you've dialed cannot be reached. His point is, for he's out of coverage area, he's gone. Subtle what? Distraction. And what distracted Demas? The love what? Of the world. And it's there. He says the love of the world. So Demas was a believer. He was following Paul. Check the Bible. He was a believer. He was doing well. So that means that it does not matter your machoism, but you can be swayed by the love word of the world. And finally, we heard Demas. He was gone. Hallelujah. He was gone, and it was difficult to even reach to him. And that's why when I travel to Revelation chapter 2 verse 8, it says that, "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write," it says, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and was what? Is alive." Hallelujah. It takes the power of God to lift you up from subtle what? Destruction. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Number six, I give you the last but two. Number six, disregard for the will of God. And that's what the causes of destruction can. Disregard what? For the will of God. See, our Christian walk is a constant battle of will. Somebody say wills. Our will versus the will of God. Our will. Always our will versus what? The will of God. And that's why Jesus said that, "Not my will, but what? Your will, what? Be done." You see, when we move to a place that we are willfully against the principles of God, and we reject God, and most of times it put us in a state of instability. We become what? Unstable. Unstable in our mind. And so many in life have worked hard to get what they want, but then they realize that what they actually had is not what they really wanted. You work hard to get what you want, and now you realize that what you worked hard to get is not really what you wanted. Is it not true? Double-mindedness is that little fox that can destroy your vision, destroy your desire, destroy your priorities in life. And Judges chapter 2, as I travel into Judges chapter 2 verse 17, it says that, "And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whole, they went whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandment of the Lord, but they did not so. Disregard for the will of God. And that points us to number seven cause, is not heeding the directions of spiritual leaders. And I'll close with this. Not leading or heeding the directions of spiritual leaders. The previous scripture leads to this thought that we need to heed to the voices of spiritual leaders, because instability will lead to our downfall. Instability will lead to our downfall. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 to 19. He gave some apostles, some prophet, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says, for the perfecting of what? Of the saint. For what? The perfecting of what? Of the saint. And it says, not only for the perfecting of the saint, it says, for the work of the ministry. For the work of what? The ministry. And it says, for the edifying of what? The body of what? Of Christ. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you understand what that means? Till we come in the unity, till when we meet the Father, the offices will not be necessary. When I meet Jesus, there is no need for a prophet. When I meet Jesus, there is no need for an apostle. When I meet Jesus, there is no need for a teacher. Are you understanding me? Some people say that. How many of you have asked this question before? I want to close from here. I'll continue next week. How many of you have asked this question? When I get to heaven, I have many questions to ask God. Please, if you are like that, wave your hand. If you are online, you can give a comment. I have said I'm real. I'm real. I'm not fake. I have said that before. But when I came into the knowledge of Christ, I realized that when you get to heaven, there won't even be the ability to ask questions. And God willing, next week, I will show you why. Hallelujah. I will show you why. Amen. So, we have to understand that the little forks of double-mindedness can destroy our priorities, our vision, our dreams, our aspirations. I want you to bow down your head and begin to pray. I want you to pray and say, Father, the little forks of double-mindedness, help me out of it.
Help me out of it.
Look at me. Some people say, I want to start something. I want to do business. I want to do this. I want to do this. But you are caught in the spirit of double-mindedness and you cannot do anything. I want you to pray personally. I've given you a prayer talk, but I want you to pray. I don't know which area of your life where this little fox that we disregard so much has creeped into our life. And it's breaking us down gradually. And I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. Please bow down your head.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sidney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and Shalom.